Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where
prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a woman who would love it if Nat Faxon answered every single OnStar call. It's Megan Hoffmeyer.
Did you look at my notes? I have his name written down in all caps with 3 exclamation points.
Well, it's just such a weird cameo, isn't it? Oscar winner, Nat Faxon.
Oh, that's true. I totally forget that he's an Oscar winner when I think about Nat Faxon.
Where's Nat Faxon's Oscar?
Ooh, is he one of the types that puts it over the toilet? Probably.
Does he do that as a joke? Or do you think he showcases it because he worked really hard?
Because
he won it for The Descendants.
Yeah.
And then he did Way, Way Back.
Oh, such a good movie.
Do you think he's proud of it? Do you think he stares at it while drinking cheap scotch and cries?
Why would he be crying? He should be laughing and drinking scotch and just so pleased.
Jim Rash made a splash at the Oscars that year.
A splash?
When he mimicked Angelina Jolie.
I don't remember that.
So this is really weird that we're talking about Nat Faxon, but in Ready or Not, when Grace gets into a car and she calls, what's it called again? OnStar?
OnStar or some, you know, movie version of it.
Yeah. On Planet.
Yeah, there you go.
Calls On Planet, and it's him. And she's just, he says the car was stolen, he turns it off, and then she swears at him.
He has such a memorable voice, too, so it's hard not to picture him saying it.
Yeah. It's weird watching him come from the Broken Lizard guys from, like, Beer Fest and all those movies, and Club Dread,
true.
To being an Oscar winner. Dreams come true.
Yeah, well, I mean, he is just so fun. I love Nat Faxon.
So, I brought you on for this, Megan, because our listeners, Movies, Films, and Flicks, they voted for this movie. This is our March movie of the month. This is what they voted for. They wanted us to talk about this film. And when they did, I thought the only person that has to join me is my wife, Megan. Now, when we were in the theater watching this in 2019... this was a very fun time. You and I think we were laughing a lot more than the people in the audience. So there's a scene in this movie where Grace is playing hide and seek, but she gets a hold of an elephant gun with bullets that are the size of a cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's hyperbole, but go with it.
I mean, those little boutique cucumbers probably.
Oh, I'm sure there's a cucumber in this world that it's the size of. But we thought when he got shot with, we thought that Stevens was going to get absolutely destroyed. Like, I thought Stevens was just going to...
It's a good gag.
Yeah, it's a good gag. And they build up to it for so long, because she's at the island, then he walks around.
When she has that hero pose in the hallway, when she straps the bullets across her, and she's holding the gun, and she's got her sneakers on.
Yeah, doesn't she look at herself, and she just, like, dang, or she, like, drops an F-bomb.
She says bloody hell or something like that.
She's like, oh, geez Louise. Oh, shucks.
Yeah, there you go.
But yeah, she goes in there, and she has this massive gun, and this... And the Lady Omas's bodyguard is sitting there, and he hears a noise. He goes to look around the island, but she moves. And then he looks again, she moves. All the while, you have a kettle brewing on the oven.
Yeah, it's such a random thing for him to be doing at that time, too. Knowing that the whole family's walking around, murder on their minds, lots of random weapons, and he's making tea.
Oh, maybe caffeine. So maybe he's going to fix them up with some nice tea.
Sure.
A nice pour-over. Who knows? Maybe he's going to do them something, you know, get them some caffeine to kill somebody throughout the night, enough fuel. And then she finally gets a drop on him, and she pulls the trigger, and nothing happens. And it was a letdown, but I kind of loved it, too, because the easy thing, I guess, would be to have exploded Stevens.
Yeah, that whole scene does not go her way for a very long time. She tries to get out the door. It doesn't work. She tries to use the gun. It doesn't work. And they say, what were they? What kind of rounds were they? Dummy rounds?
Yeah, dummy rounds. Yeah, he's like, you think that I would actually allow for real rounds to be in these things? Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make sense.
No, you would think that they would be real. I would think they'd be real.
Stevens is the only capable person in this household, would you say? Their butler? The late Omas's?
Yeah, no, the family. Well, maybe Aunt Helene.
Oh, yeah, Aunt Helene.
She seems pretty scary.
Aunt Becky is pretty good with that bow and arrow. Andie MacDowell, the mother.
Yeah, maybe she's capable. She just doesn't use her skills very often.
Let's say you're a member of this family. Right.
Oof.
What weapon would Tony, the father, give you? So you're somehow in this family.
Oh,
what
okay.
weapon do you think he would hand you?
Me personally, yeah. with my own skill set?
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks? Gosh, this is a tough question to be sprung on me. Something.
They know you. You know, they know who you are, and he's picking out for personalities. What weapon would they hand?
Maybe either a gun or a machete.
I'd give you a rocket launcher.
Oh, that would be awesome.
You want a machete? Oh, that's brutal.
Well, because I feel like a knife would be too short, and then I'd have to get very close to someone. But a machete, you got some more length. You can sort of slash at things.
You'd want, like, one of those heat-seeking missiles. Less work.
What do you think they'd give you?
Me? I got Smith & Wesson right here in my fist.
Oh, jeez.
That'd be terrible.
Yeah, it would.
Hey, Mark, go find her. Oh, gosh, I'd quit the family.
So that's, what are those, that game that you had, the card game where you have to ask people these existential questions that are really hard to pick between?
Oh, Chuck Klosterman did a hypotheticals.
So I sort of think about this movie in that way. Would you want to be born into the family or marry into the family, not knowing what was going to happen to you?
I mean, I guess it has to be born into it because you have your entire bloodline. And you know if you don't let this person, if this person lives, all of you are going to explode into squishy bits. No, this is a spoiler. At the end, and we'll go back to this because it's a great question, but okay. At the end, when they explode, like, where do all the ribs and skeleton go?
I think they were just jellified.
Just a jellified explosion?
Yeah, complete explosion from the inside.
Because all the goo that hits people is jellied. Mm-hmm. So there's no, like, if a rib flew out and stabbed somebody, none
of that. They're full on liquefied and then they explode.
Oh my goodness. That?
I mean, that's sort of what
LaBelle's
it looks
not
like.
Messing around.
He really isn't.
So what?
He's. I don't know. But see, I also get this weird feeling about him. So I don't know if we should now or. So do you feel that he chose her to get ready or to get the hide and seek card because he knew that she would cause some sort of change in the family? He knew she was capable?
That's an interesting question.
Doesn't he tip his head to her at the end after she kills everybody?
Because he says, good job.
Yeah.
He gives her like a nod.
So that's sort of this feeling I've been having about the movie every time we rewatch it. I just get the feeling she was chosen.
That's an interesting question. That's a really good question. I feel like if Aaron from Your Next, I made you watch all those clips, if she was chosen, then he would want the
family,
the Les Domases mm-hmm. gone. Because she would just murder all of them. But Grace, well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, they've gotten lazy over the years, but he also, what does he get out of this deal? So he gave the great-great-grandfather a box to open. So they call it a Cenobite box, which is from Hellraiser. If you open up the box, the Cenobites come out and then they rip you apart and they're all in leather and you get your skin ripped apart and then you're tortured for the rest of your life. So that box is kind of like a demonic box. So I guess their souls? So all those people that exploded, their souls are going to wherever Domas...
Oh,
no, not
maybe,
Domas LaBelle is from.
Maybe he feeds on souls. That's very popular in fantasy culture. You know, the gods want souls. It appeases them.
Because they're pretty vague about this guy. He met a dude, and then ever since then, they've been doing
it. I know. I have so many questions. So what happens to her afterwards? Is she just free?
Well, she's going to jail.
Well, no, I don't mean that. I mean, as far as the spiritual aspect of the movie, I mean...
Well, I mean,
legal consequences aside,
they were trying to kill her.
I know,
and
but
all she did was survive. She didn't kill anybody.
But
if you think
she
about it,
free of the curse.
Oh no,
now?
She crushed a skull in this.
Yeah, no, she bashed Andie MacDowell's head in.
Andie got smoked. MacDowell owed. Not owl. Andie MacDowell. MacDowell owl. What do you think? Does that work?
Oh, yeah,
that didn't work. I tried.
You did. It was good though.
You know, you got to break an egg to make an omelet. And I broke the egg wrong on that one. And I don't mind.
I mean, it would be a pretty complicated omelet if you didn't ever break the eggs.
That's a really interesting thought.
Which one?
I don't know. We're going to... there's about four we're juggling right now.
But what are the consequences? Is she free?
Yeah, she must be. Because he gave her a little head nod.
Okay.
From what, like...
Does he somehow work with her now? What? How does this box work, by the way? I have a question. They talked about other cousins in the family that died because they didn't do the thing and they all...
The game.
They all just died. So does the box sort of just magically show up with that family member upon wedding day? Do they ship it to them?
Do they overnight it with insurance?
Yeah. Do they send them a courier?
Or maybe they offered it to them and they're like, no. We're not doing it.
Maybe Stevens drives it over, flies it over personally, one of the charter jets.
So if a family member, so it's interesting though, if a family member doesn't play the game, then just that family dies, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, otherwise,
not the entire family.
I mean, this guy, I guess, is sort of like an eternal jokester. He would have no entertainment if everyone just died at once.
Yeah. So
maybe he was sick of them.
I would have been.
Because they're kind of dumb.
Yeah. They were not good at what they're doing.
And they're very selfish and they're mean. Maybe he doesn't like what they're using his money and fortune for.
I think, yeah.
This, I have this lots is what of conspiracy theories about this.
I think the only people he likes are probably Daniel, played by Adam Brody, and then probably his wife, Charity. Because they both have an interesting thing going on. They kind of hate each other. But Brody's...
Well, he clearly saved her from something dark that she won't talk about. They allude to it several times.
Yeah. And they have remember that scene where she's like, you're weak, but then he hands her the drink and she just takes it. And there's like they're comfortable together, mm-hmm. which is, they seem miserable together, but they're comfortable.
They're like college roommates that just tolerate each other.
But that's a testament to the directors, what Matt Bettinelli opened, Tyler Gillette, and then the writers, Guy Busick and Christopher Murphy. And then also the other producing guy of Radio Silence, Chad Villela. So it's Matt, Tyler, and Chad. They're this group called Radio Silence. And then the guys who wrote the script, Guy and Chris. I think that's all these questions we're asking. We're not given much. I don't think the questions that we have are bad questions.
No, they're fun questions.
Yeah, they're fun questions.
It makes us want to know more about the universe and what's happening there because we like it so much.
I think good movies do that. And I think bad movies make you ask questions you shouldn't ask.
They make you poke holes in the plot. These are not plot holes.
Yeah, exactly.
They're just more like, what's the extended universe like here?
Yeah, and it's weird though. In this extended family, there's character growth from Adam Brody's character. You know what's weird is that John and I, we did John First Body, and then David Cross and I did Scream 4, so we've covered all of Brody's recent horror films.
Oh, that's fun.
Adam MFF AB.
I really enjoy Adam Brody.
But he has the arc in this. So Grace, played by Samara Weaving, she's excellent, but she just kind of gets really, she just wants
she's
a family.
Just being screwed over.
Yeah, she wants a family at the end. She just, and what I like what Samara Weaving said is she didn't want to be the girl that gets lucky and kills somebody, or it's a fluke. She wanted to be, but she's not Aaron from Your Next. Who's just people out. So she's in the middle. She's not, but she also, she chokes.
No, it's more like, how is that?
It's a banshee scream. And she said that's just, it's an anger scream is what she called it. But yeah, so she's not getting lucky and running away, but she's not going on the straight up offensive. But she moves out of the way and she gets stabbed. She takes out Stevens with the sash from her dress. Like she's tough. And she like kicks him in the face with her yellow chucks.
She's a survivor. She's scrappy.
Yeah, yeah.
She's definitely wants to live.
She's not a survivalist murderer.
So here's my thing about Alex. I don't understand why he doesn't do something to warn her. Why doesn't he just discourage her from getting married? Why doesn't he convince her? Yeah, I know she wants a family and they've told us all that, but why didn't he do more to preserve her life?
Well, he's just a spoiled brat though. And I think the movie shows that. Remember when... Like at the end, he's like, "You're just not going to forgive me now." And remember, he's like, "Well, I didn't want you to leave me." So he brings a woman to potentially die because he didn't want to tell her the truth. So he's.
I guess I like Grace, and I feel like Grace is a good person. So she wouldn't have chosen a bad person to marry. He just hid all that stuff.
This could have been.
He must be different when he's not near his family.
This could have been a plotline from Crazy Rich Asians. This could have gone that way.
There are imagine about. That. 49 plot lines per book in Crazy Rich.
Just imagine that, though. She goes back and then she has to do Michelle Yao's chasing you.
Oh, jeez. That's frightening.
It'd be done.
She's legit
scary. Awkwafina gets in there, becomes an action movie.
She could be Adam Brody.
Yeah, I see that.
Dark but funny.
But he's good in this, Brody.
He's so good.
So I guess in the beginning of the movie, it's they go to a flashback and it's Daniel and Alex and they're running. Daniel's older brother.
As little boys.
Yeah. Daniel's older brother, Mark O'Brien's the younger brother, and this guy runs around the corner with two arrows in him. And he's like, hey, help me out, Daniel, help me out. And Daniel's like, he's in here. So then Daniel hides Alex in a closet. Alex sees Doma.
Yeah,
he sees it. And then But Daniel is the one who is basically responsible for killing a man, and he knows it. So, I mean,
it seems like something they train the family members to do, because throughout this movie, the maids constantly call out when they see her. The little children try to hurt her, trained in this way of life.
And what the maids are reading to the kids, too, is like, you will be strong, you will do this. But, I mean, this Brody, I don't know, you're a kid, though, even if you're trained for it, and you know you, like, when shit gets real... It got real when he was a kid, so he probably was a mess, and he knew what would happen.
Well, he seems to be somewhat sensitive at his core, even though he puts up a front.
But he even told, right? He told Charity, this could happen to you. Mm-hmm. Before they got married, she's I don't care. I want money. So he's, in the movie, yes, he turns on her two times, right? Well, he sees her once, and he's like, I'll give you 10 seconds, and then he knocks her out.
And then he gives her about 39 seconds.
Yeah, and then he gives everyone acid and they start spews.
Oh, that is so amazing.
He said they're going to be pooping weird for, didn't he say something like that?
He's
like,
yeah, I think it's hydrochloric acid. It's basically stomach acid, but not good.
Yeah, so he messes them up and then he gets killed by his wife, right? Charity kills him.
Oh, accidentally. Yeah, because she's aiming at Grace and he's there.
Grace is just so wily.
Yeah, she's very, she's like the...
Wiry.
She's like the
kicker from Replacements.
The kicker from Replacements, or the really wiry people who you never think are going to make it through American Ninja Warrior, and then they crush it.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, I was I'm a mechanic. I've been training for this for 6 months.
I climb on bridges in my free time.
Yeah, and then they crush the course.
Yeah, they're just crazy.
Oh. And she puts herself through the ringer in this. Back gets cut.
Oh, she gets, and this goes, I actually wrote this down. This goes back to, I can't remember which horror movie it was that we were watching about when people get hurt and needing to feel it. So it should be something that hurt. Like, people don't understand what a bullet wound feels like. Mm-hmm. But you feel something like when her hand goes over the nail.
A fingernail.
Oh.
Getting pulled.
Yeah, because that has happened to you, or you've cut yourself, or you've done something stupid, and you know how it feels to be sharply cut.
That scene in this movie where... All right, so Georgie shoots... if you guys have seen this movie, I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this, but there's a scene where she's escaped from the family, she's outside, and one of the kids of, Fitch and Emily comes out, and she's like, hey, Georgie, I need your help. Georgie shoots her a hole right through the middle of her palm, and... She knocks Georgie out. Good punch.
Oh, yeah.
She blacks that kid out.
Good for her.
Knocks him out. And then a goat scares her.
Sicario rules apply here.
That's right. Best goat since Drag Me to Hell?
What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, it pushes her into the well.
Oh, that is so gross.
And then she falls into a well with a ton of squishy skeletons.
All the people they've killed over the years.
Lots of disease, and there's probably bugs.
Why haven't they poured some lime on this? I'm disappointed in Stevens. He feels more capable than this.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Or bleach or something, whatever it is you do to break down bodies.
Maybe it's a ritual.
Or maybe it's just because they're rich and lazy and no one's going to go in their barn.
Yeah, they're billionaires. They can get away with it. That wasn't me. That was Stevens. All right, so then when she crawls out, though, and she puts her hand, so she has a hole in her palm.
Well, she has to scrape her way up the wall. Ugh.
And then she reaches up and sticks the hole in her hand right through a nail. And that reminds me of, this has been done before. It's kind of funny in Your Next. I keep bringing up this movie and I hate doing that, but she puts this fake board down with nails in it. And this guy's like, aha, you're not going to get me. Then he steps further in, but he misses the other trap she set up and he steps right onto the nail. And then in Quiet Place, they set up a nail for about 45 minutes. Then she steps on that. Nail gags are bad.
Because they make you cringe because very likely hurt yourself with a nail or a screw or something, or a hammer.
And pencil stabs.
Ugh. Pens, knives, just in the kitchen.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were talking about fingernails, right? You feel. Like, when someone's fingernail gets ripped off, you're like, ooh! Mm-hmm. Like, you've gone a little too far picking
this
your fingers.
This conversation is making me very uncomfortable.
But it's such a good scene, though.
It is.
And one of my favorite moments in the film happens when Charity sees Grace running through the yard, and Charity's like, oh, I'm going to kill you now. And she shoots her bow and arrow, a crossbow, and the crossbow flies 40 yards the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that scene?
Yes.
So she's probably the only... Her and Stevens are probably the only...
Well, she's a survivor, too. She wants to live. She clearly has some bad thing in her past. She was abused, or who knows what.
I'm not going back.
Yeah. That's her whole thing. I'm not going back to that lifestyle, so I am down to kill.
I never thought about the fact that Daniel really warned her about that.
Yeah, and I think I would assume Fitch was probably warned as well, because
And he didn't believe it. Fitch didn't. Do you think Fitch believed it?
No, he probably thought it was just stupid.
Yeah, stupid.
So that's a whole nother part of this story, the believers versus the non-believers.
Yeah, poor Anne Helene, who lost her husband on her wedding night. You know, they talked about her hair in this, so I listened to the commentary, and then I listened to the behind-the-scenes interviews, and then I read every interview I could find, and they talked about her hair in this, and they called it like a shark fin hair. I kind of love it. And the studio was really worried about it.
Her hat's like a shark fin?
Yeah. No, the studio was really worried about it. She might fall deep blue sea. But then they saw more footage. They're like, oh, okay, we get it.
Readiest, snottest. Her hair is like a shark fin.
Oh, my goodness. I like that.
New song, remix.
I'm going to make a meme. But yeah, so she's kind of just accepted. She knows that this curse is real. And she seems all these rich kids don't believe it, you know, like, oh, brown-haired niece, you know, you're still alive.
I love that line.
So she's lost because of this.
Well, she believes it because I think she's a little kooky.
Yeah.
But she hasn't seen the proof. Now, the father, Henry Zerny Tony, he says there was another part of the family that didn't do it. They woke up, blah, blah, blah. So he knows it's real. Or I guess you could still rack it up to a bad, you know, oh yeah, something bad happened to them.
He mentioned three of those though.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what, I'm gonna
So I think there are some people who believe and some people who just play along because they feel like they have to, but then they tell us later in the movie about all the rituals that they have done all their lives to learn how to deal with this stuff. So is there an annual ritual?
Well, I think
the letting of the goats.
There might be an annual ritual, or whenever there's a game and a person isn't sacrificed, they sacrifice a goat.
Oh, interesting.
But it could be an annual one, too. I don't know. But there's goats down there. No wonder that goat was like, I'm not going down there. You're going down there. And he pushes her. That goat didn't want to die.
Well, poor goat.
That goat knew what was going on.
Goat should run away.
Can I tell you something real quick about the costume design? Yeah. So Avery Pulouse, she did an excellent job on this. And a lot of people talk about it, but they had 17 different dresses in this film for Grace. And I kind of love how everything was functional for her. And Avery actually she got some chucks and came up with the color herself to make them yellow in that, which I thought was really cool. But yeah, the dress is neat. You know, there's 17 different dresses, all for the different distress that
and it was five pieces.
And yeah, like the skirt, the overpiece,
the corset, the lace overlay, the skirt,
the sash.
What's that, three? The sash.
And then the bowler hat.
The fascinator.
She had some. Oh, the little thing that goes over the corset.
No, that was the lace overlay. I can't remember what the last.
You used a fancy word. I said the thing that goes over it.
Yeah.
But yeah, five parts.
It was so much like my wedding dress, right?
Yeah, you're right.
All those parts.
Oh, yours was so much better.
And then I ripped it up so we could go partying and.
Yeah, we crushed it. We knocked Thriller out on the dance floor.
Exactly.
Jen Garner and Mark Ruffalo joined us. And Judy Greer.
They were filming in town.
Yeah. But. They were acting.
It was 13 going on 30.
They said they were 30, but they were acting like 13-year-olds.
It was 33 going on
15.
15?
Yeah.
It's like Benjamin Button.
I'm really hoping that I can get this movie made, Meg. It's called 37 Again, starring me and Dolph Lundgren. We switch roles.
Okay.
So he becomes me, I become him.
I see it.
But yeah, so Avery in this movie, I like the dresses a lot, and there's a lot to be read on that, but I also like what she did with the other characters. So she got. For the father, who she got for Tony, she did tone on tone with him.
Tone on Tony?
And then, oh gosh. she got him a beautiful Dolce & Gabbana.
He top. Did look quite sharp.
Like very, like, bondish.
He looked very tailored, very fitted and sharp, and just everything was crisp lines.
I love, like, that Dolce & Gabbana, that was a nice top. Like, they loved it. And then what they did for, she put a cardinal uniform and a cape on Aunt Helene. So Annalise is wearing a cardinal uniform.
Oh, I see it now.
Which is really interesting. And then I like what she did a lot with Emily. And so she just dressed her in different things. So she looks like someone who could just go to a music festival and pull it off. So basically what she said was, it's an insane outfit that a lot of people probably couldn't pull off, but she nails it.
Okay.
Maybe people are too busy looking at the cocaine bubble in her nose in her outfit.
Or her going, I don't know what I'm doing.
She's so funny.
She's so good.
She's the biggest killer in this movie. She kills the two maids.
I know. She's the best accidental
killer. I'm such an idiot. You're not an idiot. She's the daddy's
girl.
She's such a daddy's girl. She goes over and hugs him. Like,
oh yeah, but then he still sends her to the barn because he doesn't think she's capable.
Yeah, her and Adam Brody.
Can I tell you a really funny headline I read? Yeah. Speaking of the dress, it was the Chicago Sun-Times, and I was just so pleased with it. You already covered the material in what you said, but this headline killed me. Say yes to the distress.
Oh, that's a good one.
I know. I was very pleased
with that. I'd have quit.
I said, good job. Good job.
Please. I'd have retired. I'm done.
Pretty amazing.
I'll never do better than that. But I don't know. I guess I dig how, you know, she put Adam Brody Daniel in a very Gatsby type outfit. And she did the same with Charity. Just kind of like his unbuttoned look. That's very kind of Gatsby. And then with her, she kind of had more of like a 1920s dress, Charity. And then Andie MacDowell just had that black dress that was very simple, elegant. Yeah. So I thought it was interesting how, you know, like, if you think about Gatsby, he's new money.
Mm-hmm.
So Charity, she's kind of new money.
It's
so
funny.
Then she has that dress.
I never thought of her dress that way because I know exactly what dress that is. Yeah. It is very popular in weddings and for bridesmaids nowadays. It's an Adriana Popple dress.
Oh.
And it comes in multiple blushy sort of colors, different color beading, but it is super popular. I've seen it in a million friends' weddings. So I was distracted by the fact that I knew what the dress is. So I didn't think about it being 1920s, but you have a point.
Well, and then did you get that vibe from Brody or no? At all?
Yeah, he was a little bit more... His dad was super sharp.
Yeah.
And the brother was a little schlubby.
A little... Because I guess he was gone for 2 years. And then Fitch, right? Just kind of a little schlubby?
I mean, didn't he have a cummerbund on?
The groom?
No.
Or Fitch?
Fitch.
Yeah, oh, Fitch was tailored.
Okay,
Fitch,
yeah.
Fitch was like...
Yeah, the groom was just... He seemed a little unkempt or maybe everything was a bit looser. Like, he was just being, I don't care.
Henry
I'm not
Golding.
A part of this.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh.
I don't want to dress like this. You know, on the day of that wedding, a wood chipper was going off?
Of the ready or not wedding?
Yeah, so they had to run around the area where they were at hunting for this wood chipper.
Oh, man.
And it was a really cold day.
So, you know, can I talk about something?
Yeah.
The estate where they filmed is at the Parkwood Estate National Site in Toronto, that big pool. So you've seen it in a million things. I know you said Billy Madison. The thing that kept sticking in my brain was that it was... What was it that was filmed there?
Oh, the superhero show on Amazon.
Oh, yes, The Boys. I did write it down. Just kidding. So The Boys is filmed there. There was a scene in front of that pool. It's a very memorable pool
yeah.
if you've ever seen it filmed something. But 85% of the production was filmed at this estate, and the grounds are just massive. It's just parkland, and all the stables are there, and a lot of the interiors were in the estate.
It was really tough for them. They had to use a lot of Steadicam because they didn't want to put a lot of stuff in the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the blood that they did, they couldn't really show a lot of the blood. So the dumbwaiter gag where the maid gets killed,
uh-huh.
you really had to avoid the blood on that.
Mm.
So I thought that was pretty interesting where they had to they had to build panels over things before they build panels over
mm-hmm.
the original wood to splatter
And then
that.
Put their sort of facade and look to it.
And then splatter it all on there. I thought that was really interesting.
That is interesting. And I thought it was so fun when I was researching this place. They have on their Facebook page, the Parkwood Estate, a production album, photo album for Ready or Not, where they just post a bunch of stuff. They were a little bit concerned about the language in the trailer, so they didn't want to post the trailer, but they posted all the photos they took of the cast and crew while they were filming. So that was kind of fun.
I mean, it's a good-looking cast and crew. You want to have photos of that.
You know what else I thought was interesting about that place was that it was created by the Otto Baron.
What?
Really fancy title. Snobby stuff, you know. Totally a room that one would have in a house, right?
Yeah.
The Otto Baron who founded GM.
Oh, that's neat.
Created that house there.
I mean, it's a big old house.
Mm-hmm.
And I like in this movie, they purposely... Because, you know what's interesting about this film is you don't know the geography at all.
No, other than the staircase and maybe the main hallway.
And that was a purpose... Like, they did that on purpose.
Oh, to disorient
you? Yeah, to really do that. They wanted no logic in the house. This is my favorite line from the commentary. So it's the three guys from Radio Silence and Samara Weaving. And they're talking about, hey, you were smoking these herbal cigarettes during this opening take because they're not real cigarettes. They're like, what's in it? And then she goes, herbs. Just such like...
Just herbs?
Like, I know they're herbs, but like, what kind of herbs?
Oregano.
But I just like the, yeah, hey, if I had some, I'd smoke it. But if they... I just like that. That was the blunt answer to that. But I also like these guys. This is one of their...
She probably has no idea.
They had done other movies before. So they had done other horror films. But this was kind of their first like big kind of $6 million film. So they had worked on VHS. They had done some stuff on Southbound. They had done a few other shows. So I kind of... What I liked about this is they talked about the producer on here. And what they did in this movie, they didn't have much time. They had like 20 days. So they had to schedule everything down to the minute. And I guess they had a hell of a producer on here just going, move.
I heard that part of the commentary. They were very grateful for that person because they were able to cut a lot of fat out of the script.
20 pages of fat.
Yikes.
And they said it was painful, but they said that this producer called them up and went, guys, do you want to do this or not?
But didn't they say it was better for it and they were very happy about it in the end?
But they were kind of being, I guess they didn't want it to be like that. And it's like, we need to do it. And so they hacked out 20 pages. And you know what's interesting? These guys, Matt and Tyler, they interviewed for the job, and then the producers were like, thanks, next. You know, no thanks. And they went through a bunch of people, and they're like, shoot, we should have gotten Radio Silence. So they went back to Radio Silence. And Radio Silence, I guess they wanted to go, they said, we're going to come back to you with more stuff. So they had all these drawings and ideas.
Oh, wow.
So instead of them being like, up yours, you said no. They're like, heck yeah, we want it.
Oh,
so
that's nice.
Yeah, so I think this movie, because this is a movie that requires a lot of love. I mean, this was a well-thought-out film.
How much was it?
$6 million.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Jeez.
And guess how much it made worldwide?
$120 million.
Oh, no.
Aww. Well,
half, but $57 million.
That's still a lot on a $6 million budget.
Yeah, so I'd say it's $6 million. You $15 million in promotion, so you got 21. Yeah, you walked away with like $25 million at least in profit.
That's
I'm just doing funky
good.
Math, but you're at least walking away with 20 mil.
You know,
because I don't know how much, you know, marketing was.
I remember the first Instagram ads that started popping up for this, and then I went and watched the trailer, and I think you already knew about it probably, but I got so excited because it just looked like so much fun and it looked crazy, and I don't like horror movies, but I love a horror comedy.
That's why I kind of...
Especially a bloody, cheeky one.
Remember the people in the theater? That was cute. Like, there was a lot of murder, but then people were laughing. Like, they thought it was a cute movie.
I mean, I was laughing at pretty much everything in this movie. It's just so much fun.
Watching Adrian Brune just stare at Facebook and like, idiot. Like, he's talking...
Oh, my gosh.
Like, his buddy's name is, you know, Chet or something like that. And they're just broing out. But he's like, idiot. Like, we were the only people laughing because we love Orphan Black, probably.
How about when he's sitting on the toilet watching the YouTube videos? I heard that that was the directors.
The writers.
Oh, the writers.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, learn how to use a crossbow. I mean, but that makes sense. That's, like, whenever I have to do something, like, change a battery or do all that, not in, like, a remote in a car. Whenever I have to do that, I'm like, I should look at...
Put it positive first.
Yeah, exactly. I got to tell you, though, the other day, the battery on Megan's car... Because of what we're going through, we hadn't started in a while, so her car wouldn't start. We bought this tiny little thing that looks like an external hard drive.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
not
it
big.
Jacked your car right up, set it up. That's impressive, huh?
It did.
You didn't think it would happen.
Well, the first time we used it on your truck, not on my car.
Yeah,
you're now right. I'm a believer.
But I do think it's pretty funny though that the days that they shot outside were the coldest days that they had.
Well, it's Toronto.
Yeah, you're right. Chilly.
I guess as long as there's not snow on the ground.
Yeah, makes sense.
So much of it is in the house, you know?
Like, you know, they also built a fake dumbwaiter in this.
Why?
Well, because there wasn't a dumbwaiter.
Oh.
And so they built a fake one, and they told their prop guy, yeah, just put it in. And the guy's like, okay, I'll just build a fake dumbwaiter. Like, you idiot. And then another fact I like from this is there was only 5 candelabras. And a lot of people talk about this, but I've done...
Oh, I saw that too.
I've worked on a lot of indies before where I stupidly use the same plant in every room because I just didn't know how else to decorate anything because we had no money. But yeah, so they use 5 candelabras in this movie and they just switched in a different place. But 5 is a lot. When they say they only had 5 candelabras, give me 5.
I mean, if they're big iron candelabras, shoot.
I could stretch 5 candelabras all day.
I mean, when we got married, the church said, we have 4 candelabras. Would you like to use them? Of course I would like to use them. They're free.
I'll be like, you have 5?
Place them around the front for dramatic effect, please.
Like, that sounds amazing to me, right? 5?
Yeah.
So when people are, we only had 5 candelabras. I'm like, shoot, I would have worked with half of one.
Yeah, I can put 1 in this room, 2 in that room.
I had PAs in the background holding candles.
Blowing on them.
Yeah, just holding them, pretending to be candelabras.
And they had no matches, so they had to use sticks.
Exactly. We had no money. And you're telling me, 5 candelabras. Jeez Louise.
Please.
But. Anyway, how about this? Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will talk more Ready or Not. Or Ron, as they call it.
I'm ready.
All right, we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere. This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And Megan, you're right. I don't think we spent enough time on the hypotheticals by Chuck Klosterman for this movie. So is it better to be born into the family or is it better to be married into the family?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if we went with the road I was talking about earlier where you were just very straightforward with the person, you convince them that we don't need to be married, and then maybe you set up some legal things where they would get benefits from you later or something like that, that would be fine either side.
Yeah.
But that's a cop-out, so what's the easier one? I don't know. I think I would rather marry into the family.
Not be born?
Yeah, because, I mean, what if you're the one to screw it up and kill everybody?
So you're making the choice.
Yeah.
Because if you're the family member, you're bringing someone in to potentially die.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess if they tell you it...
Yeah, it feels like such a jerk move, right?
Yeah, and that's why this... So this Mark kid in this movie, the more we've watched it, Alex...
I don't
Mark
like
O'Brien,
him.
But he does a good job because...
Being sympathetic at first?
Yeah, so he's sympathetic at first, and then he kind of turns. And Aunt Helene says it too, like, he's the one that's going to do it. And he's the favorite son. Remember when Adam Brody is like, yeah, he's your favorite son? He's like, we know it, and they start laughing together?
Yeah, I definitely thought that his betrayal would come much sooner.
Yeah.
They held it off for a long time, and I think that was really good.
Remember Andy McDowell tries to kill Grace. Grace smashes her head in with a box, and there's hair and blood on the box.
Matted on it. Gross.
Alex comes in and sees it, and he's like, you're never going to forgive me for this. And then he turns. But I feel like that turn was inevitable.
Yeah, it was. And that's why I commend them for how long they held it off, because you feel like it's going to happen no matter what. There's no way that it doesn't happen. But they keep it to the very end.
I mean, it's a very selfish move, though, what he says to her. Oh, I didn't want you to leave me.
And then Brody comes through with the poison.
Yeah, he just had enough
when
of
when perfect brother Alex comes back and he's ready to stake his wife on a table.
But, I mean, Brody's there. Like, he's just a drunk.
I think he's probably sick of it. Because, I mean, how bad is that? Every time one of your siblings get married, you have to go through this. And then say your children are going to go through this.
Yeah. That's probably what, I wonder if the two would even bother with that.
Probably not.
Yeah. What happens if you get a divorce?
Oh, good question.
Because then you don't want to go through that again and bring somebody else in.
Yeah, no.
And then what if, like, do you have to sign an NDA? Because let's say they do get a divorce, and then Charity's like, yeah, they're family, they make you play a game, but they say they kill people every now and again.
I mean, I feel like people probably aren't going to talk about that. It's just too weird. Who's going to believe you? They would think you're crazy.
Yeah, maybe. And I guess if you're a billionaire, you can hire good lawyers and writers.
So I have a theory about the whole was Grace chosen thing.
Yeah.
I think, and maybe I'm completely off base and just reading into this, but... that LaBelle is interested in good people. So he's sick of the family. The only real good person left is Brody. And he's sort of a recovering
bad
person.
And he was killed before he could explode. So who knows if he would have exploded.
Maybe. And maybe if it was up to him, maybe since he's so sick of things. But the family has gone too far down that they're very selfish. They just buy things in vanity. They're all just sort of awful. They teach their children to murder people. They're not very redeeming people.
No.
So, or just like Andy McDowell, she's just completely complicit because, hey, this is my life, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like he chose Grace because she's a good person and they're not anymore.
Do you think? No, I think so. I guess and Samara Weaving does a good job of pulling off being a really nice person in it.
Yeah, she just wants a family. I mean, that's all she wants. And I know it's pretty simple, but she's also wants to live. So there's that.
Yeah. So he brings her in because she's nice. And he wants her to rock the boat to kind of mess with the family a little bit.
Or maybe once she marries into the family, LaBelle chooses doesn't he choose the card for you?
Yeah.
He chooses that one for her because he's like, I'm done with these people.
Could Fitch have survived the night?
Yeah, for sure. He would have just gone and, like, lounged in a bathroom.
Fitch?
Watching YouTube videos. He'd be the last person alone and go, oh, wait a second, it's light?
I think Charity would have fought pretty hard, too, if her card got pulled.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Street Fighter.
What game did she get? I can't remember. I know that he got Old Maid.
And she got Checkers.
Oh,
from what I remember. Yeah. She's like, yeah, I think I got Checkers. And he's like, what is old maid?
Oh, I know. And then they shush him.
Fitch is such a turd.
Oh, gosh. He's so funny.
So that scene, they built that table and they brought in all those, what do you call it when you stuff all those animals? So they brought all those in.
Taxidermy.
But they didn't know how to capture the scene. So what they did was, since it's kind of like an octagon-esque table, they just put a camera on Steadicam and had him do laps around to capture.
Okay.
And they just ran the scene about five different times. Because imagine, we've talked about this as far as coverage. When you have 10 people in a room or on a table, that's a nightmare. Like, you can't...
Yeah. Go,
if you're doing OT over the shoulders on each person and, like, covering their... Getting their coverage,
yeah,
it's a nightmare.
Trying to get it from both sides or... Then you end up either grouping people in two places. It's hard to...
So I thought that was a pretty interesting thing.
I'm trying to think of the last movie that had a bunch of people that covered things well, but I think Knives Out did a good job, but most people ended up in the same room, though. Like, they were all just clustered.
That's a lot of coverage, though. Mm-hmm. That's annoying. I wish people would...
Dumbest car chase ever.
I wish... I love that movie. I wish everyone on the planet knew how pain in the butt it was to get coverage. Like, gotta get the wide shot, then get the close-up, then get the medium shot, then maybe the OTS, and flip it.
Yeah.
Nightmare. They avoided that, though.
Gotta get plates.
But they have... Oh, gosh. They avoided that, though, on this, so I dug it. Any other cool theories for me?
I think I am maxed out on the theories. I do have one good piece of trivia.
Uh-oh.
Emily's gun, the one that she does a terrible job with in the beginning,
that's
and she
so
kills
funny.
The maid, is the same type of gun from Clue, which is a board game.
Oh, hey.
It's a pepper box revolver.
Wow.
So that's some good planning on their part.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
I thought
that was...
takes place inside the house.
Out of all the trivia, those are the few things I wrote down.
And she kills a maid with it? No, she kills... Yeah, she shoots
the
maid in the
maid.
Beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, shoots right in the face and she keeps gargling.
Yeah, and then Aunt Helene chops her head
that's
off.
That's the second maid. Both maids gargle.
Yeah.
You think they're dead. They play that. Like, that's a tightrope to walk on, is it not? You're murdering people, and you're playing it for a gag. So you have to get the tone right.
Well, there's the gargle gag, and then there's Aunt Helene just being a stone-faced killer who's totally in on this cult thing.
Yeah.
And chops their heads off.
So Grace gets killed. I guess she doesn't have much of a family.
Mm-hmm.
But what would everybody say?
Like she, oh, how convenient would that be, though? You bring home a girl with no family?
Yeah, I mean, she didn't have a family.
I wonder what Fitch's backstory is, because it sounds like Charity wouldn't want to go back to whatever she came from, so no one's going to miss that.
Fitch's parents are like, do it. I don't care if you die.
They're probably just crazy.
That's why he acts like that. What do you think?
I don't know. That's an interesting
you can't
thing
invite,
to explore.
Because the next day, everyone gets together. It's a gnarly thing.
Maybe just being a part of this family makes you more attracted to loners.
Maybe. Is that what they have to look for?
Possibly. I mean, it appears so. Didn't Annie McDowell have... She was a blue blood, you know?
She came from a poor background, she said. What about... Do you think Fitch was pretty womaned by Emily?
Maybe.
So Christian Brune was a prostitute.
I don't know. She's kind of stupid.
Christian Brune was a prostitute. He was a gigolo on the streets.
Oh my gosh.
And she gets him and she dresses him up and she turns him, gets him the nice thing and flaps the jewelry case on his fingers. Do you think she pretty womaned him?
I don't know. She seems too stupid.
He gets his
hair
done.
She's very funny, but not very smart.
She'd
extremely indulgent.
She'd be fun to party with.
Oh yeah. I don't know if I could stand a party with her. She's
in my 20s.
Next level.
But like, if you're at an event with them, she's going to buy out the bar.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, she's going to be there at night, free whiskey.
Sounds good to me.
She had that big old cocaine bubble on her nose.
It's kind of gross.
That was a good move by Grace, though. Grace just kind of does a subtle
told her
thing.
To clean it up.
Yeah, but she did like a hand motion.
I like when she gives herself the pep talk in the mirror and she smacks her. You've got this. Yeah.
And then doesn't Fitch do that, too? He's like, come on, Fitch, don't be a bitch. Doesn't he starts slapping
yeah,
himself.
I think
before,
so.
You know, I mean, they were, he was down to do it at the end, because he, remember when...
Well, I mean, he's invested. He has children. Yeah. He has a very pretty, yet weird and not very smart wife.
Remember when this...
Lots of money.
Lots of money. Billions of dollars.
He's
sports
got
teams.
A lifestyle.
Yeah. He needs those charters. Oh, no, we have a cat fight in our room.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. So, right now, I just want to give you guys a heads up, if you're listening. Stella, our older cat... Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, gosh. Oh, she just bit my other cat's foot.
Oh, we could turn this into a final fight.
Yeah, final fights. Listen to those, by the way. They're a lot of fun. But so at the end, this, you know, this movie made me money.
Yeah.
Because remember the Cracked article I wrote because
of
this?
Oh, right.
So I wrote an article about characters who will most certainly be arrested after the movie ends. And I didn't use this one because it would have been a spoiler.
I mean, but will she be arrested? You don't think she would be seen as a victim?
How do you explain it?
I don't know. You escaped.
I'd show him the barn. Like, there's bodies down there that are years old.
She doesn't have any gunpowder on her hands.
Yeah. Wait, no, I guess not.
I mean, she's traumatized. They came up and put a little blanket around her.
I think she'll be all right, but that's a tough one. So what are you going to say to cops? So I married into this billionaire family.
And they tried to murder me. Keep it simple.
Yeah, they tried to murder me. And then what happened? Well, a fire happened. Well, why are their bodies liquefied jelly? I don't know.
Fire. Drugs. Who knows?
Yeah, explain drugs.
Maybe the hydrochloric acid liquefied their insides before they blew up.
Because they're not going to be able to run autopsies. The only people they can run autopsies are on the
Annie McDowell, because she died first.
And then Adam Brody.
Yeah.
The rest of them are exploded jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Is that house going to completely go down?
It's probably for the best if it does.
Yeah, it's not. It's no good.
No one wants to go back there.
But there's got to be other family members. Ooh,
what happened to the card box?
I don't think... LaBelle's got to be able to
float. Does it magically repopulate somewhere else?
It's like the thing from...
Or it's just protected from fire and all elements.
I mean, it didn't... So, all right, that's a wooden box. And she used a wooden box to smash in a woman's skull. And it was fine.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I feel maybe, like most wooden boxes...
Maybe it has metal coating?
I think the integrity is pretty good in it.
I mean, it's been around for a couple hundred years.
So who is LaBelle?
What do you mean?
Like, who is this guy?
Who is this man?
This person. This deity. I guess it's a man, as we see at the end.
Yeah. He's, well, he can't be any place good if this is the consequences.
Yeah.
Maybe he's in the in-between world, in the purgatory, and this is how he... Maybe he needs enough souls to move on.
Do you think it's like a magician's type god, or do you think it's like the devil from traditional story?
I think it'd probably be more like the devil, more like fantasy where there are angels and demons and multiple deities. Maybe not like the one god and the one devil, but the kind where there are different gods that people worship.
LaBelle's his brother that he hates.
He's his uncle.
Because that's small work. I mean,
he's that uncle.
Do you think he goes around the world doing that to people?
I mean, maybe when he was alive, but I think he's tied to this family now.
You don't think he showed up in, like, you know, he's a spirit, but he can become a human?
Oh, that would be really deeply upsetting.
And he just finds people
who
can solve the box.
Now you're going to give me nightmares.
Good. You never get nightmares. I get nightmares. I'll be happy to do that. You've heard me screaming.
Oh, I do love how in the beginning when Grace says she's part of the family empire and they correct her extremely casually and call it, Dominion.
Yeah, Dominion.
That's amazing. Which alludes very much to the whole... hell, fire, brimstone, things of that nature.
They're so mean to her in the beginning, though, when he's like, you don't belong in this family. He's like, well, then he's like, well, I mean that as a compliment. You're nice.
Yeah.
But then he's like, the dad's like, he could have done so much better.
I know.
And like, oh, then he says to Brody, he's like, I love all of you equally. And they all laugh.
Yeah.
And then Charity says that she's pretty, but at a last call at a dive bar kind of way.
Ooh.
They're really going at her. So, like, they're pretty terrible to her in the beginning.
I mean, I think they're just, again, it goes back to Grace is a good person, and they're just terrible in general.
Yeah. But I think Alex is part of that, though.
Oh, yeah.
Kid's no good? All right. What do you think about the music room? Is it a totally normal room or not?
It's total. I mean, what, Mark, we have a music room.
Yeah, wait. I guess we do. Yeah. With all our taxidermied.
Yeah. And all in the cabinet full of board games.
Yeah. Do you know they sent in a list about 80 and they only made about 14 of those? But they designed them all for, like, they're brand new games.
Oh, like completely for this movie?
Yeah, for this, because they wanted to create new things, but I thought that was fun.
Yeah, if you go on the Parkwood Estate album that I mentioned before, they actually have a close-up picture of the cabinet with the fake game sitting in it.
Oh, nice.
So you can see some of the fun titles.
So what are your favorite moments in this movie? If you had to take three favorite moments...
I definitely like the Aunt Helene saying, brown-haired niece, you still exist.
Yeah, I love that.
I just love how scathing that is.
Yeah.
It's so mean. anything with Christian Brune, a.k.a. Fitch, or his wife Emily, they're just funny individually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she says she can't do anything right, or she screams for her dad, or just very funny.
I think she screams like, I'd rather be dead. And then another scene, she's like, She's like, she's like, I suck. And then Annie McDowell goes, you don't suck, honey. And then she's like, why does this always happen to me? Like, I just love it. Oh, wait, I have a quick question for you, and we'll get to the favorite moments. But how do you feel about when Tony, he's like, we only do traditional rules, no cameras. And he's like, we'll use cameras anyway.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Do you think LaBelle would have even bought that? Are they cheating?
I like the theory later on when they say, wouldn't he have used them if they were available during his time? So... It's funny that they've been doing things so old-fashioned out of tradition's sake, but they don't modernize at all.
Their family would have done it. Get a leg up. If your whole family's going to become squishy,
the next generation, once Aunt Helene and the dad die, probably is definitely going to use
They're done technology. After that. They didn't do a very good job of training their family to live with this curse.
No, not at all. It's like they just don't think it's going to happen.
But that you know, do you think Aunt Helene sees the writing on the wall? Like looking at these idiots?
Probably.
And then she says that Alex...
She doesn't seem to like any of them. She's been in misery for the past 20 years.
She does say that Alex is the only one that can do it, and then Alex is the only one who does it at the end. So she must know him. He was like the golden boy. Like, because maybe they thought Brody couldn't do it, and they sure as hell couldn't trust Emily.
I think that Daniel should have never sheltered Alex from that kill, because that's what set us down this path.
Yeah. So you think if Alex saw it, he would have been different?
Probably.
Hmm. Oh!
Yeah.
Sorry. At the end, they yell, "Hail Satan," like for their...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So people are like, come on, guys. Yeah, at the end, they yell, "Hail Satan." Is he Satan?
No, I think that Domas serves Satan in some capacity.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Wait, Domas... LaBelle.
LaBelle, yeah.
LaBelle, Le Domas.
Oh, Domas is the house? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the name of the family.
I think that he has a deal or a bargain with Satan.
So he works for Satan, then they say Satan?
Probably. He's just a bad spirit.
You're not giving him Satan, are you?
I don't want to give him that much credit, because there's so many other awful things out there.
Did you like... I kind of feel bad, but I would definitely hire Stevens if I was rich and a billionaire, and I had a curse over my family. Would you hire Stevens?
I don't know. He has a weakness for classical music that got him killed.
Did it get him killed?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he was jamming out, right?
Yeah, he thought she was passed out. He turns it way up, and he's just singing along, and he's got the FaceTime on, and the family is yelling at him to stop.
You idiot! And she kicks him in the face 3 times.
You know what? I think that tea was for himself. He was just treating himself to some nighttime tea while they hunted, because he doesn't have to kill her.
Yeah. Wouldn't he want to help, though? I guess he's not blowing up either way.
I don't know that Stevens is very good.
You don't think Stevens is that good?
I don't know.
I guess he fails at the end. His death is kind of anticlimactic because he just flips his car.
Maybe he's gotten kind of complacent.
Yeah, cocky.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think that blonde twig can fight. That's a quote from the movie. I'm not calling her that.
That's descriptive.
No, but I don't know. I think at the end of the day, you know, 2019 was a really good year for horror. And I think this movie is a not a big reason for that, but I think it's part of it. I think it's able to walk a really messed up tightrope. It's bloody at moments, but it's also, I mean, there's straight up murder in this film. We showed this to your parents and they liked it.
Oh, because they love a funny movie.
Yeah. And this is a lot of
humor. Even if it's weird and mean, they love a funny movie.
Do we love this movie more because we liked Orphan Black?
Ooh. And we liked The Babysitter.
And Oh, yeah. She was really good in that, too. That's a completely different role.
No, I think, I mean, I love Christian Brune, but yeah. I think I would have liked it either way. I saw the trailer and I didn't really know much. I didn't recognize her being the person from The Babysitter just because I'm not super familiar with horror things.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I thought it was going to be fun no matter what. Like, yeah. What were your top horror movies from last year?
Oh, my top horror? Oh, geez Louise. That's a tough one. So I would go Climax, Dr. Sleep, Ready or Not. I'm going to Letterboxd real quick. Hold up.
Crawl.
That's in my top five. Oh, gosh, here. It's fair. I put you on... I don't remember my password on here. So 2019 horror. And I did an entire podcast that you can listen to this on the site. No, but I got to go with this, Crawl, Dr. Sleep. I love The Lighthouse.
I still don't think it's a horror movie. I know that they say it is.
But if it's in a blockbuster, it's going to be there.
I know.
And then Happy Death Day to You. That was cute. I wouldn't say it's a favorite. Oh, Dead Don't Die.
Oh, the Happy Death Day to You. Oh, that's so good.
And The Dead Don't Die. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, my gosh.
Bliss was good. That was extremely bloody. Mandy was 2 years ago. Yeah, so I think that's about it. I'd say Climax. And then I'd say Crawl, Dr. Sleep, this. This is my top five. All right,
I love it. Favorite
moments. I'll give you 3 favorite moments and I'll do mine.
No, that's not enough.
20.
20? Okay, let me start. So.
All right, here we go.
No.
Do it.
I can't do 20.
I'll count.
No. I will say, I'll just generalize. Like I was saying, Emily and her little breakdowns because she's on drugs and trying to kill people.
This always happens.
Christian Brune and the crossbow video. And Aunt Helene and the You Still Exist, brown-haired niece. I don't know. know. I think those are my top ones.
What about Samara Weaving's Banshee Scream?
Not my favorite.
That's... So we've probably seen this movie 4 or 5 times. I gotta say
No, I watched it multiple times. I would just put it on planes last year as I flew around, and I would just put it on the background with my headphones while I read a book. I would say...
That Banshee Scream.
I like her, and I love this movie, but the more you hear the scream, it just it starts to grate on you a little bit.
And I hate saying that about this movie, but every time I'm here, because it's not... people call it a hate scream, or she's so loaded with anger, and she's been tortured. She has a hole in her hand, and she fell into a goat well, and she saw dead people. So I guess it's like a guttural, instinctual thing, but it's like a banshee wail.
Yes.
But I hate hating on it, because I've never been in a situation where I've gone through the hell I've gone through.
It really sort of picks at your ear after a while.
I guess one interesting...
It's much louder than the rest of the audio.
Do you think she did that to avoid the classics? Yeah, like the scream queen. She did the banshee scream to avoid the classics.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it the first, couple of viewings, but I've now seen this movie a lot, so.
What about when she gets her back ripped? When she's going through the gate.
Oh, can we not talk about it? Now I feel all icky. The pain in this movie, other than obviously gunshots and maybe axe swings to the head, because I have no frame of reference for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the little things, they really make your stomach tighten up.
I like how she took her heels off and put her chucks on immediately.
Oh, yeah. Smart how else are you going to get around? And that's my biggest problem with movies sometimes. Women just take off their shoes and they don't have replacement footwear. You're going to tear up your feet. You can't run away for your life if you don't have shoes on.
She had those chucks. She took care of business. I think my favorite parts are you thinking that guy's going to get blown up by an elephant gun.
Mm.
The explosions at the end. I have a question. At the end of this movie, would you have been happy if it was all a hoax and they just stood there looking at her and the movie ended?
No.
You were happier that was a real thing?
Yes.
Got it. Yeah, I think me too. I feel that way as well.
Well, because that feels cheap.
Yeah. Too easy? I guess people may say that they explode is the easy thing, but maybe a twist is the easy thing to do.
But I feel like it's not easy. They're actually following through. They're not trying to just trick us. You had Brody who gave up his family. He chose.
Yeah.
You have Alex who bought into the family at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Aunt Helene who believed all along. And I love the reactions they all have too. I thought it wasn't real. And then they explode.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And then they into goo. So those are my... I have one more. I got to think of one more favorite scene. Let's see. And I don't want to do the ones you did. I think it's just when Christian Brule is sitting in that room going, idiot, looking at his buddy's Facebook post.
Oh, I have one more. I do like when Alex is prepping her in that back hallway about where to go and how to get out of the house. And she's putting on she's ripping her dress and putting her sneakers on. When he basically makes it sound like it was her fault. You wanted to get married. And then she smacks him and screams.
You're blaming me?
Yeah.
She said, yeah. That's the scene though. Where you're like, ooh, this guy's no good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like Brody though. Brody, why is he not in more movies? Could he be a leading man?
I think he definitely could. Especially the way that movies don't have to be massive movies anymore.
After Jennifer's Body and this, he's funny in Scream 4, minor role. But yeah,
has he been up to?
I'd love to see him care. He stays busy. If you look at his IMDb, he's probably popping in a lot of stuff. But he's good in this. I think he'll get more roles. I hope he does.
He could be part of somebody's friend squad in a Marvel movie.
Oh, no, he's in Shazam.
Oh, that's right.
Hey, there we go. Now, also, you know the directors are being looked at to do the next Scream movie. And he got killed in Scream 4. I think they're going to do a good job. Directing duos, they're good.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like directing duos can either be great or miss.
Yeah, the Coen brothers are terrible, right?
Yeah, no, they're just crap. They make utter crap.
What brothers are you talking about?
Love who miss? Hail Caesar.
What brothers are you talking about who you think miss? I won't push that.
No comment.
All right, so final thoughts about this movie?
It's just super fun. You have to see it. You have to watch it over and over to get all of the gags. And it's just, I know if you haven't watched it, sorry, but.
I don't know why they're still here. That's tough.
It's a good time. I know that I laughed through Crawl and it was because it was sort of cheeky, even though it's played serious.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just funny.
All right. Let's do a quick draft. What should we do? Should we do an Adam Brody draft, Andy McDowell draft? Should we do a... Let's see. Should we do a movie featuring a goat? Should we do a movie featuring... Let's see. What should we do? Huh? What's the thing?
Oh, okay. Let's do...
I'll let you pick.
Would it be weird to do a Henry Zerny draft? He's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, like, let's do a Henry Zerny draft.
He's so cheeky.
Movies only, right?
No.
No?
You can't take TV shows away from me because I have the first pick there.
Oh, no. We're doing movies only because he's been in so many. He's in... Oh, we got to do movies
so
only.
Not fair.
Well, you picked him. There's so many TV... All right, you want to do TV shows too? Sure, let's do it.
One TV show.
One TV
And then
show.
The rest is movies.
Fair enough. All right, you get the pick.
Revenge.
All right, Meg...
Conrad Revenge. Grayson and Revenge. That was a very long series, but ultimately a wonderful guilty pleasure.
All right. Oh, wow. He was in A-Team.
Oh, my gosh. He was on Falling Skies and Torchwood.
He was in The Tudors. Does this guy ever stop acting?
Apparently not.
All right. The Texas Vampire Massacre? Oh, no.
What?
All right. So I got to pick. I got to make a pick here. He's in The Girl Next Door.
As an aside, we finally got a second monitor, and this is a game changer right now.
All right. I'm going to do... Oh, definitely a game changer. I'm going to do Mission Impossible.
Oh, nice.
He's coming back for the seventh one. All right, what are you doing?
Wait, who was he in the first one?
He was the guy that gets the gum thrown at the thing and all the fish fall on him.
Oh.
In the first Mission Impossible.
Don't remember that. We'll have to watch
He's
it again.
Kittredge.
I know, that's a great name. Okay, scroll for me.
All right.
Ooh, Deadly Mat... Oh, that's a TV movie. Does that count?
What is it?
Deadly Matrimony.
Why would you pick that one?
I like the name. All right, you want cheeky.
Deadly Matrimony.
It's probably on Lifetime.
Deadly Matrimony. All right. I would do Clear and Present Danger, but I think that would give me the win too easy. What do you think, Meg? So I'm going to go. I don't want to be that guy that just picks those cheeky ones. Let's see. Kojak? Pink Panther?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's in Fido?
Fido?
Yeah. He's in Flashpoint. Less than
that was a TV
oh,
show.
Oh, I got a TV show, don't I? Mm-hmm. Oh, he was in a TV show up here that I saw that looked pretty good. He's in Schitt's Creek. Sharp Objects. That was popular.
He was on Supergirl.
All right. I got to pick something here. You know what? I'm going to cheat. I'm going to say Ready or Not.
Oh, not fair. I didn't even think of that.
All right. What are you picking?
Flustered. Ooh, the A-Team.
Oh, I was going to do that next. You know what, Meg? Should I get competitive here?
No.
Oh, okay.
To other people, you should.
All right. So I won't do that. Let's see. I still get a TV show, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he was on Monk.
Oh, yeah. All right. Help me. Let's see. What's a fun TV show that he's been in that he popped up in?
All of them?
Yeah, he's been in town. Just him in the show.
He was on Torchwood.
Quantico? I never watched that. Did you?
No.
He did one episode of Schitt's Creek? Can't do that.
He was on Supergirl.
Yeah, but those
I know you love Supergirl.
Well, we got to find something he's been in a bunch of.
The Tudors?
Never watched that. Let's see. Haven, Possessed. This is getting tough here, bub.
Kung Fu, the legend continues.
Well, that's fun. I think I know what I'm going to do.
Oh, Secret. He was on Secret Service.
Top Cops. I'll do the Ice Storm. I like that movie. Ang Lee.
Wait, he was in The Girl Next Door? Is that?
That's a TV movie.
Okay. I was going to say, it's not the one that I really enjoy. I'm going to pick the Pink Panther.
Hey, I'm going to do Clear and Present Danger.
That's fine. I probably wouldn't have picked that.
I don't know what else to pick. You should have picked that. You would have won. I kept telling you to do it. All right, you get your last one. You have Revenge, Deadly Matrimony, A-Team, and the Pink Panther. All right, what's your last one?
What's at the top of the list?
All right, let's see. I mean, he's done a ton of good stuff.
What is External Affairs?
I don't know. External, brother, that's an interesting one.
Oh my gosh, he was in Ice Castles?
I need to pick a TV show. All right, what are you going to do?
Oh no, he was in The Circle.
Fido.
Oof. Oh, he was in Ghost Whisperer. Yes.
You want to do that one?
No, it's a TV show. I already have a TV show. I need a movie. And you picked Ready or Not. Can I pick Mission Impossible 7?
No. You gotta pick.
Oh, I saw one down here. Hold on.
What is it?
It was... Where'd it go? Oh, I guess I'll just go with The Circle.
The Circle?
Yeah.
Alright, I'm gonna do The Tudors.
Okay.
I've never watched it, but he's done a ton of episodes, so you might as well add him.
He was on CSI, the original.
Oh my goodness. All right, so we have very... I can't wait for people to read these and be like, what is happening?
This is the best draft ever. So random.
Do you want Clear and Present Danger?
No.
Because I feel like that's a ringer. I feel like I'm cheating with this one.
It's fine.
But I feel like I'm cheating.
You could switch it out for Salem Witch Trials. Or Klepto.
Klepto. All right, pick... Let's find another one. I feel like this is too... People are just going to see it and vote for it. So I need to pick something really random.
What about Trial at Fortitude Bay?
There it is. I'll use Trial at Fortitude Bay. People are like, what?
This whole draft is like, what?
Fortitude...
But he has such a recognizable face, though.
Yeah.
He's been in everything.
All right, so this is fun. So, Megan, thank you for joining me.
I was ready.
Oh, brother. All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Megan Hoffmeyer, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.